Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much. For hanging around with us this morning, our phone number is 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Did I say it's 34 after? If I didn't, it is. My website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter that comes every week by email, actually on Sunday, every Sunday. Kirk Chaffetz is our guest. Kirk is the author of a book that I'm pretty excited about, Thinking Inside the Box, the 12 Timeless Rules for Managing a Successful Business. And he's an award-winning reporter and a successful businessman where he's built the world's first global custom publishing network for McCann Erickson World Group, which many of you know is one of the largest, maybe I guess the largest advertising agency in the world. He's got a long history of being successful in the publishing business, and his new book, Thinking Inside the Box, is something we're going to talk about today. Kirk, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. Kirk, I'm excited about your book because I think it's important for small business owners to know about, because the things you talk about in this book are the things that we do. But there was a period of time, and that's one of the reasons I like what I like about your book. You actually go back and reference what was happening in the 90s and identifying some of the nonsense that was happening. And you know, small business owners in those days were scratching our heads. We were looking around saying, well, you know, all these people are making all this money, and you know, why aren't we getting some of this action? Are we doing something wrong? And of course, now we know we were actually doing something very right.
Exactly. The truth, whether it's a sad truth or a happy truth, I think it's a happy truth, is that the fundamentals of business never change. And I think the point that I've been trying to make for a few years now is that they never have changed and they never will change. That the rules that govern the way small businesses ought to be run are the rules that have governed the way the economy works. And this notion of exchanging things for profit, that I'm going to give you something, you're going to give me something, and both of us are going to believe we got a decent deal out of that exchange. Mm-hmm. That's the fundamentals of small business. That's the fundamentals of big business, and those are the fundamentals that drive our entire economy. And as I say in the book, somewhat jokingly and somewhat ironically, I don't think any of that has changed since the first Reed basket got swapped for the first domesticated yam about 30,000 years ago.
Absolutely. Well, Adam Smith called it the division of labor. You know, that's what builds markets, and you're exactly right. Nothing has really changed, but it seemed in the 90s that it had. And of course, there's precedent for this. As you know, there was tulipomania in the 17th century, I think it was. There was the South Sea Bubble in the 19th century, and the Mississippi Scheme in the 19th century. There's always been mania, hasn't there?
Exactly. Well, these things come and go in waves. Every generation, I think, wrongly believes, or at least some small portion of every generation wrongly believes, that it has reinvented the rules of business, reinvented the rules of making money. And it was that notion, really, that drove me to write this book, to point out that, really, two things that fascinated me about the 90s. One of them, as you said, this, you know, all of these people were making all of this money, and those of us who were just trying to run our businesses were doing fine because the economy was doing fine. But unfortunately, I could never get a business with $1 million in revenue valued at several $1 billion on the stock market.
Right.
It didn't happen to me. And what happened, of course, when it collapsed, is that we discovered that the business was never worth that. Mm-hmm. This was a huge confidence scheme, in effect, without accusing any particular people of doing anything illegal.
There's no question about it.
The money gets stolen, in essence, taken would be a slightly more polite word, from investors, and transferred into the pockets of the owners and operators of these businesses. And when they collapse, there's nothing left for the investors. And I think that one of the most heinous things about the 90s was this whole notion that the owners and the investors, the executives and the investors, were in different boats.
Kirk, stand by for just a second. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about, mostly we're going to talk about the right way to run your business, which is basically the way you've been running your business, and why you need to feel pretty good about that. And we're going to talk about those things in just a few minutes. It's 22. Stay with us. We'll be back with our new friend, Kirk Chaffetz, the author of Thinking Inside the Box, available wherever books are sold. We're back. It's 17 till. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Alexis Goodsman is going to join us and talk to us about our e-commerce capability. After that, Brad Huskin is going to join us and talk to us about our customers, how to take care of them. Right now, we're visiting with a new friend, Kirk Chaffetz, who's the author of Thinking Inside the Box, the 12 Timeless Rules for Managing a Successful Business. And folks, I really would like to encourage you to check this book out, because I think that you're going to find... You're not only going to find some things that will help you in your business through this book, but I think you're going to find some comfort. I think you're going to find that Kirk is a fellow traveler of yours and mine, and I think you're going to like what you see here. But it's not just going to be a warm fuzzy. It's not just going to be a love fest. You're going to learn some things in here that will help you not only I think he not only agrees with you and me more than maybe you might think, but I think he's going to offer you some things in this book that will help you. And, Kirk, again, I want to congratulate you.
Well, thank you very much, Jim.
Tell us where it's available.
It's available, my publisher tells me, just about anywhere. Barnes & Noble is stocking it. It can be ordered on the web easily at Amazon.com or BNN.com.
Is there a companion website?
There is not at the moment, but the Simon Says website of Simon & Schuster features a chapter of the book.
So they can find out a little bit more about it if they go to SimonSays.com?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Check that out when you get a chance. You know, Kirk, I think we're all in agreement by now. Here it is, 2003. You know, it's been 3 years, fully 3 years since the NASDAQ crashed.
Right.
Since the mania of the 90s officially ended. And I think we're pretty much all in agreement that was a weird, wacky time, and we don't want any more part of that. But I also think, though, that we may still be a little bit confused about where we all fit into what some people call the new economy. Now, in your book, you talk about the new economy, and I want to get your opinion of it, and see how it meshes with mine.
Well, my belief, of course, as you know, Jim, from reading the book, is that there is no new economy, and there never has been a new economy, that the economy is a fundamental, unchanging way in which goods and services are exchanged, and that spicing it up with hot technology, inventing better wheels, all of that can change, in part, the way we do things or the way we serve our customers or the way we keep track of information, but it has no effect on the economy. I say in the book, you know, let's not confuse technology and the economy just because they both end in Y. And I really think they have about that much relation to one another.
Right. Well, one of the things, and I hear you, and I'm not going to argue with that part. The only thing I say is that the reason that I think that there is something that we could call a new economy is not because there are new rules, because I don't think there are any new rules, and that's where you and I completely agree. But I do think that there are new tools, and I think that the new tools are more than just going from a buggy to a truck. You know, when the first business said, you know what, I can deliver my goods across state in a third of the time because I now have a truck. That didn't create a new economy. That created a new tool. But I do believe the Internet has created a new dimension a new way of thinking about how to do business. A way of it's created. Well, look at eBay. eBay is a marketplace on the online in cyberspace. It's a whole marketplace. And to me, anytime you can get to a new, you can get your mind and your and actually do business in a new in another dimension. To me, that's something new.
Well, I certainly would be the last person in the world, Jim, to claim that the internet was not something new. And unlike our friend Al Gore, I don't claim to have invented it. although I wish I'd had a piece of it for a few years. But I believe, and having spent my life in communications, I've been in publishing really virtually my entire life, a reporter, an editor, a publisher. I see the internet as one more communications tool. I love it dearly. I think it has changed some processes. It has allowed us, and it especially allows small business people, to distribute work, especially intellectual work, widely. You can create virtual teams now of people in different countries. Everyone can cooperate to create a common product on the internet, and of course, you can sell things. I think far more with far less expense. You can advertise a business, get the word out. All of those things are very important. But the point of my book was, I think the point you agree with me on, that this has absolutely no impact on the fundamentals of a sound business. And what I was reacting to, at the height of the mania, one particular writer with the Harvard Business Review Press declared that retailing, as we now knew, as we knew it, was dead, and we were going to sell everything on the internet from here on out. And he called, his name is Gary Hamel, by the way. I'm not trying to keep it a secret that I disagree with him. And he's a very well-known business guru and advisor. And he said that retail locations were now a millstone around the neck of retailers.
Wow.
And it was that kind of ludicrous nonsense that I was reacting to when I said there is no such thing as this new economy.
Well,
the way Gary Hamel was.
And I agree with that. I agree with you on that completely. And I don't say that the internet is going to replace the traditional marketplace, but it is a new dimension that has to be added to it. And I think if you don't recognize that, those are the people that I think are in trouble. Tintail, we're going to be right back with our new friend, Kirk Chaffetz, the author of Thinking Inside the Box. We got more fun to come right after these messages.
A band is blowing Dixie, double fall.
We're back at 7 till, having a great time with our new friend Kirk Chaffetz, the author of Thinking Inside the Box, 12 Timeless Rules for Managing a Successful Business. And the books are available. The book is available wherever books are sold. Let me spell the last name for you, Chaffetz. Chaffetz. If you're typing that into the online search engines, and that's K-I-R-K, Kirk Chaffetz. And so check that out when you get a chance. And I promise you, you're going to like this book. If you're a small business owner, this book will mean something to you. A couple of things I want to talk about, Kirk, as we head into the end of the hour, is cash and profits, the two things that are very important in any business, but especially for small businesses. And one of the things that you point out in the book is so timeless, and that's that you got to make a profit, but cash is, in fact, king, isn't it?
Absolutely. I guess the first rule is you have to make a profit. And I found it very interesting, again, that during the 90s, this was actually a debatable proposition. That was probably the height of absurdity. There were actually people
whose business models, their business plan was rejected because they forecasted a profit. You know that, right, Kirk?
No, absolutely. I'd heard about some of those.
It happened. I've seen it happen.
You would be condemned as an old economy player if you.
I don't remember where it is. Let me see if I can find it. But somebody in your book, you quoted them as saying something like that.
Well, I guess the most famous. It was attributed to Jeff Bezos at one point that profit was unimportant. I actually searched through just about every word that Jeff Bezos ever said, the founder of Amazon.com, and couldn't quite find that. I found him saying what I felt was the equivalent of it, which is profit is only important at some distant point in the future. Profit is sort of like the Buddhist ideal of enlightenment. It will come to you eventually.
Here's the one. It's from a guy named Olam. You quoted him in his book. Folks, you're going to love this. This guy says, my thought is that profitability shows a lack of creativity.
Right.
That guy's probably unemployed right now.
given the logic of the new economy, Jason Olam, I believe, is unemployed with several million dollars in the bank.
Poor guy.
He started a business called CD Now.
Right.
Which got bought by Bertelsmann,
He cashed out before the crash then.
Yeah. He was just about to go under, as you might imagine, from his view of profitability, when Bertelsmann rescued him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Thomas Middlehoff, was then the CEO of Bertelsmann. And, of course, when his Internet businesses continued to lose huge amounts of cash, there was finally no one around to rescue Thomas Middlehoff when the board of Bertelsmann woke up.
Right.
Bertelsmann was once the most powerful media company in the world. It slid considerably down the scale and has been replaced, interestingly enough, by Viacom,
mm-hmm.
A company that avoided all the Internet nonsense. Sumner Redstone, the CEO of Viacom, mm-hmm. diligently refused to do the deal with America Online,
mm-hmm.
that Time Warner ultimately did,
to their chagrin, I'm sure now.
Absolute and shame, we might.
Yeah,
add.
I agree. Yeah,
that was a completely crazy deal.
But the thing is for small business owners, Kirk, we've always known that you had to make a profit. We've always known that even though we had to be profitable, what was actually more important, at least in any given day, is the cash.
Right, and I think that, especially in large companies, managers in large companies can delude themselves with perfectly valid accounting maneuvers,
mm-hmm.
that say, well, we made a profit this year even though we were cash negative several hundred million dollars.
Oh.
I trace the history of McDonnell Douglas,
mm-hmm.
which was ultimately swallowed up by Boeing, which encountered enormous cash problems just prior to being swallowed up by, mm-hmm. Boeing. It was profitable, yes, during this entire period. But in fact, because of investments in new aircraft, because of large tax problems that it had, because of all of these bills coming due at one time, mm-hmm. disputes with the Pentagon, contract overruns, on and on, it actually, while it was seemingly making money on a profit and loss statement, its cash was going further and further negative, and it was losing the ability to run its business.
Kirk, I'm going to have to stop you because we run out of time, but will you come back and talk to us some more about this another day?
I would love to, Jim.
Thank you very much for being here today. Kirk Chaffetz, ladies and gentlemen, Thinking Inside the Box. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.